This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 227 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this week I have Sam with me. Hey Sam, how's it going, buddy?
Jimmy, what's going on, man? It's good to be back.
I am fantastic. Do you feel a little less pressure on this show since the boss isn't around?
He's still here. We know that.
He's going to be
Ed,
listening.
We love you. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week.
He's going to be listening.
But you know what? It's one of those things. There's so much that we have going on, and it just points out that we have other things happening, but we're such Disney nerds that we still get together every time we can.
That's right.
So I missed last week, and I wanted to talk about, you know, tours and things like that, because you know where I want to go? I want to go out to Discovery Island, where all the birds are and the things are gone, what used to be River Country, but that's a whole other story.
I just read something today that they may be reusing that area for something.
I might flip a coin and bet on a DVC property someday, but the problem is it's an island. There's no way to drive to it. You have to get on a boat.
Good point. And this week we also have Lisa. Lisa, what's happening?
I am having a great night, guys. How are you?
I am fantastic. As they say, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
It's going to be tough keeping you two in check tonight.
I know.
It's really going to be a challenge.
I got my gloves, but I put them in the drawer here. I don't think I need to bring them out.
And for the record, I don't know whether or not they're going to attack Discovery Island, but I will say the River Country area is what is being rumored right now.
That's right.
As an area that might become a resort, although I don't know what the water table looks like in that area. So,
So here's my thing: how do you get emergency vehicles there? How do you? I don't see it happening because of those logistics.
Well, River Country.
I know the rumors are there, and they've been there a long time.
River Country is not.
Yeah, River Country is not an island. Yeah. Discovery Island's an island.
Right.
River Country you can access by the mainland.
Yes.
There you go. Then that's perfect.
This week, look, Sam just got back, from a pretty short trip to Disney World. His daughter,
it was a really short trip, man.
Your daughter was dancing in the parade.
She was the pre-parade and she was in the band that was the pre-parade before Festival of Fantasy.
That's awesome.
And it's one of those things where that's probably not going to happen again. So I had to get there.
It was a short trip
and it was last minute. And yeah,
she's a senior in high school, right?
Absolutely, she is. Yep. That's not going to happen again. I had to be there.
And then next month, me and Lisa are going together for a pretty short trip. So while me and Lisa are trying to plan this and thinking about the things that Sam has done, I know Morgan's been on multiple short trips. In July, Ed's gone for like 3 days. So me and Lisa's in the process of trying to plan out and think of some of the things we wanted to do. And we thought that might make a great topic on things that you do and how you plan for a relatively short trip to Walt Disney World. Now, let me preface the conversation by saying this isn't really that short of a trip for Lisa, because Lisa likes to do shorter trips. But for me, I typically do the longer, you know, week-long, Saturday to Saturday trips. So this is a little bit different to me. This isn't the first time I've done it, but I don't do it often.
Let's define short trip. because I think for most people, and this is the boat that I had been in for a long time, if you work a Monday through Friday job, you take those 5 vacation days off and you leave on Saturday and come back the following Sunday. That tends to be a normal trip.
Sure. Right?
At least that's my opinion. Is that normal for you guys?
That would be normal for me, yeah. Saturday to Saturday, Saturday to Sunday.
Yeah, and that's not a normal trip for me. So
that's why I wanted to define it.
I don't work Monday through Friday.
Yep.
I have Thursdays and every other weekend off. So therefore, a trip for me typically is I'll take a Friday off and maybe a Monday off or a Tuesday off and then go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and either come back late Monday night or early Tuesday morning.
And I wanted to throw that out there because I think everybody, there's something different that comes to their mind when they think short trip. Because short trip can be an overnight. A short trip can be, hey, I happen to be around for a conference and I'm going over for an evening. Or a short trip can be a weekend. It's all over the map, but you definitely have to plan things differently.
Or some people that have maybe a magical 8-9 hour layover at Orlando International Airport and seem to magically make their way over to the park.
It happens.
I don't know anybody like that. I don't know what you're talking about, Sam.
I'm with you. I mean, so what do you do on those short trips?
So I think one of the things I think is that those types of trips have to be much more focused and maybe not as relaxed as a longer trip. I think there's less time for things like hanging out at the resort and stuff like that, which also means do you want to spend on a short trip like that, do you want to spend the extra money on a more expensive hotel?
No, and that's a good point. You know, for you and I going next month, we're staying at one of the most inexpensive, if not the most inexpensive resort on property, because we don't intend on spending a whole heck of a lot of time there.
That's right.
So the trip I'm just back from was at a Disney Springs resort,
which is pretty inexpensive for most of them.
It was a bed for 3 nights, and that's really all that it was. There was I didn't even know where the swimming pool was. I didn't care. We were there late. We'd have to spend the day in the parks, hit Disney Springs, and then go to bed and do it again the next day.
Which is not typical for you, because I know you.
When you go,
a lot of times if you're not staying at a DVC resort, you like to stay at the Swan or the Dolphin, and you like to spend some time at the resort and hang out by the pool and the hot tub, and those types of things.
Some of the best days that I've had on Disney property have been a day at the Yacht Club or Boardwalk or Beach Club at the pool all day, and last minute reservation, walk over somewhere in World Showcase and have dinner and come back. And you don't do that every day, but if you're there for 10 days, you can do that for one and just kind of relax.
That's it.
And if we're there, say we do a 7-day trip on my honeymoon, which was like a 12-day trip. We did that a couple of days where we just sat by the pool, relaxed, had a couple of drinks, made a reservation, went off to dinner.
I think on the longer trips, you almost need to do that because, like, you were there for 12 days, Lisa. You'd kill yourself if you tried to do 12 days just, you know, grunt style Disney for 12 straight days. It just wears you down. You need those days that you can sleep in and go spend some time with them, have more of a leisurely, more of a vacation.
Right.
And not need the vacation from the vacation.
Right.
We all know how that goes, right?
Absolutely.
Which you want to try to limit yourself. Yeah, you want to limit that.
So
to say on a short trip, it was no holds barred, up as early as we could be, get to one of the parks, knock out as much as we could. You know, you had your fast passes, maybe some last minute reservations, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But then it's back, sleep, do it again, and the 3 days go by in a snap.
The other question is how many reservations did you do, Sam? And how much time do you want to spend in a restaurant? At a sit-down meal as opposed to on a shorter trip, maybe focusing more on just counter services, stuff that you're in and out and can get back to the parks.
Yeah, understood. And I think there's a couple of things here. One, there's a short solo trip, and two, there's a short family trip.
Sure.
And I think those are much different in the way that I have personally approached them, because if it's a short family trip like this one was, you know – my kids are experienced enough to understand that we can't do everything. So what do you want to do? And in this particular trip, it was Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And that's all we did for the 3 days. And we met a list of what they wanted to accomplish. We made sure we knocked them out. We had one lunch reservation at Epcot at Via Napoli. So some pizza for lunch. That's fine. Not a problem. And we were able to snag a last-minute lunch at Be Our Guest at 11:30 p.m. the night before that reservation. So my point is, don't stop trying, right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a very good point.
Don't stop trying.
Lisa, upcoming trip, me and you are down together for a short trip. Are you planning on any sit-down meals?
I like to get in at least one sit-down meal a trip, no matter how long I'm there for, just because I like the environment of a sit-down meal. Will I do my typical, you know, signature dining on this trip? No, not likely. But yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know whether or not we've got anything planned. Maybe Plaza Restaurant.
And that's another thing is that, you know, you may flip that around instead of doing a dinner. Maybe you do that sit down. And maybe not as formal of a sit down, like you say, but and then maybe you do it for lunch, where that's kind of your midday break and kind of your a chance to just sit for a little bit and catch your breath before you go out and hit the parks again.
Yeah,
right. And that's kind of a planning thing for, you know, do I do that day one, day two, day three, whatever, however many days I'm there. Am I doing it on the first day? Am I doing it on the last day? Am I doing it right smack dab in the middle, depending upon the length of the trip? I think that varies depending upon the type of traveler you are and how well you know yourself at a Disney park.
And another thing, you know, just thinking about off the top of my head, another thing that kind of benefits us on these short trips, and when I say us, I mean the three of us for sure, is that we go often enough
yes.
that you don't feel like you need to cram it all in. Even on a long trip, I don't feel like I have to. If there's an attraction that constantly has a line every time I go by it, and I don't get to take that attraction this time, doesn't mean I'm not going to freak out about it because I know I'll be back.
Right. That there's another one on the horizon.
Sure. So that's a big deal.
Unless there's something you know that might not be there. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny you say that, Sam, because me and Lisa set our fast passes for Hollywood Studios, and Lisa's like, "You did a fast pass for Indiana Jones?" And yeah, you know the way it's tiered there. I mean, there really aren't a whole lot of once you pick Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror, you know,
or Mania, one of those three,
right? One of those three. Well, Towers in the second tier, but Rock and Roller Coaster and Toy Story Mania are in the first tier. So you can only pick one from the first tier, and then you get two from the second tier. And after you pick Tower, it's like, what do I pick now? Usually for me, it's Star Tours, but it usually ends up being a wasted fast pass anyway because the standby line's just not that long. So I did Indiana Jones, and the reason I did it was thinking, you know what? It may not be there the next time I go because I don't see
it. Might not.
I don't see
it. You take Indy Jones or Star Tours or Muppet Vision. I'm sorry. Those are what you're down to.
And then you know, really don't need it for really any of them. So it's really just kind of a pick one, you know?
Yeah. If the Star Tours line's 40 minutes, come back a little later in the day, it won't be.
It'll be 20, right. And usually when it's posted 20. You know, most of the time, even when it's 20, if you have a fast pass, you still end up like in line. Like, there's nobody in the standby line until the fast pass until it merges.
Yes.
So the fast pass was still useless. Another thing on a shorter trip, you know, that you know, me and Lisa was talking about this earlier is, I like to go when me and Kim are on longer trips, especially when it's just me and her. In the evenings, in the mornings, we'll start at a park. In the evenings, we like to hop over to Epcot and have a few drinks and stuff like that, which typically leads to us maybe sleeping in a little bit the next day. Going into this trip, I don't think I'm going to do that quite as much because I don't want to. I want to be able to get up early in the mornings and get in the parks and experience some of those things, you know. Because a lot of times in the mornings is when you can get most of the stuff done. You can get more stuff done in the mornings probably than any other point in the day.
Absolutely. And depending on the time of year, like now, the parks are closing relatively early. There are no midnight extra magic or anything like that. The parks are closing up at 9 o'clock and you're going, wow, what did I do? I missed a lot. Another easy way of that, and you guys probably do the same, you know, we count down the days when we get there, and then kind of in the back of our mind is, how many days do I have left?
Oh, it's always in the right.
And when you show up with the 3-day trip, you're like, oh my gosh, I only have 2 full days left. I just got here. What am I going to do? So that hits you immediately, which is incentive for me to get out of bed and go do stuff. And the kids, quite honestly.
That's absolutely true. When I even go on a, you know, week long right. trip, once I'm about halfway, like the first 3-4 days, I tend to move a lot slower and not as worried mm-hmm. about this or that. But then once you get about halfway through, you're like, God, it's halfway over already. I really need to start focusing on hitting some stuff and getting some stuff accomplished.
You're exactly right. And when it's a short trip, you get that as soon as you land. It's
yeah, like, right. I got to get it all. I got to get it all in as soon as possible.
Yep.
So we talk about these short trips, and we're talking about how you plan for something like this. With Sam just coming off of one and us going on one next month, one of the things that people tend to do is try to decide, you do a short trip, it means you're squeezing a trip in, probably in the middle of a couple of trips, or you're just trying to get down there and experience things. So where am I going to cut corners? Where am I going to save money? Now, a lot of people look at staying off property. And to me, you lose those extra magic hours.
You lose the extra magic hours, and you've got to add in travel time and stuff like that. I think you're shooting yourself in the foot. If you do that, not only that, but if you're going to stay offsite, in order to try and save money, stay offsite on the long trip. On a short trip, the hotel is not as much of a consideration.
It's a place to sleep at that point. Yeah. It really is.
Yep.
Right. So that's when you look at it. Stay right on Hotel Boulevard.
Or on Hotel Boulevard. That's a good point. And that's one of the things I looked at for this trip coming up was – maybe staying at one of the Disney Springs resorts. And I convinced myself, well, I looked and it wasn't, for what I got All-Star Sports for, it was just a couple bucks more than one of the places on Disney Springs, by Disney Springs. Sure. So with Magic Quick Express,
their prices fluctuate a lot, those Disney Springs hotels.
Yeah.
And it depends on what else is going on in Orlando, I really think. So it's worth a look, but they're not always cheaper than All-Stars.
No, and I mean, this week we're going, it seems to be, Lisa, some of the nights we're there, I think, what did I tell you? It was like $79 a night for the AP rate we got at All-Stars.
$89 a night, I think, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go with that. Yeah. You can't beat that.
Yeah, and on the weekends, it's, you know, the weekend nights are a little more of, I'm going to be there Friday, Saturday night. Lisa will get there on Saturday night. So Saturday night's probably closer to like $130 a night. But the weeknights, the Monday, Tuesdays, are really cheap. So if you could, that's another great tip. If you can do a short trip and do it in the middle of the week and avoid the weekends, you can really save some money on the hotel.
Which is never something that I've ever done because of my Thursday to Tuesday trips.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. It comes down to work schedules. It comes down to when you can and can't get down there. And that's where we're all in different boats and experience things a little bit different.
Well, me and Lisa expect you to be down there.
We'll you never know. We'll see what can happen. So here's one of the tricks that I did this trip. Disney Springs Hotel, up early, Uber, straight to the Contemporary. No breakfast at the hotel, breakfast at the Contempo Cafe, which is the, call it counter service or quick service in the center of Contemporary, right next to Chef Mickey's. A couple of Mickey waffles, quick breakfast, and then you walk right over through that single security line, and we were in pretty easily. That saved a lot of time. And when you're on a short trip, a half an hour here, 45 minutes saved there is huge to the overall scope of what you can accomplish.
It's an extra attraction or two.
It especially at 8:30 in the morning when the park opens at 9.
So let me ask you a question. You Ubered. What would be mm-hmm. what do you think the time difference would be instead of Ubering if you walked over to Springs and took the bus to the Contemporary?
Where I was a little far to walk.
Okay.
There's some closer hotels versus further, especially now that they've moved the buses to the center of Springs.
Right.
So if you remember, it used to be 3 bus stops at Disney Springs when it was downtown Disney. Now there's only 1 right in the middle because they want to drop you off right in the middle of all the shopping, which is fine. I understand it. But it makes it a further walk from a couple of those hotels, especially if you're at the B, which is way down on the end. Right. The Holiday Inn and the Hilton may be a little closer, but that's going to be a personal preference as to whether you think you can walk it or not.
The other X factor to that, Jimmy, is it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and really you're going to have minimal bus transportation to resorts from Disney Springs.
May not be running at all. Yeah, that's a good point.
The Uber, we got some backstage quick tour because the way the Uber went did not go right. Your buses is going to go Disney Springs, but they're going to go in a bus lane now, which is wide open. And that's beautiful, by the way, right at Disney Springs, and the bus lanes in the middle. What used to be a 4-lane road is now 6 lanes plus 2 bus lanes. It's huge. You have to love that.
Right.
That's awesome.
The buses buzz right down there. Then they head to Magic Kingdom, but then they hit all of that construction right at the front of Magic Kingdom where the Magic Kingdom marquee is.
They're doing that flyover. Yep.
They're building that flyover, and they're changing everything, which, by the way, the traffic pattern is all screwed up right now. And when you leave, the exit is much easier coming out of Magic Kingdom, by the way. It's felt much easier. So they've already opened pieces of it, but the flyover isn't quite finished yet.
Once they're done, it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's gonna
be. But when you came the back way, you came back past
Fort Wilderness.
Fort Wilderness, yes. The cabins, Fort Wilderness Lodge. And you make the right and never even touch any of that traffic. It's actually a newer road that we turned onto. You didn't come near any of that traffic, and boom, you were right at the Contemporary because it's the only thing that was down there.
That's that back access way. So when you come down to the end of Hotel Boulevard, instead of staying kind of straight, you took a right. And then you take a left down that back road, and that brings you down back behind Riverside.
Yes, exactly. And the Uber went behind Riverside. The buses would go in front of Riverside to kind of stay front stage as opposed to backstage.
That's right. Correct.
Because if you go back there, that's the distribution warehouses and Disney University, and there's a whole bunch of back of house things, which are really cool to see when you're in an Uber.
Sure.
It is. It's not that there. It's an office building with a bunch of cars parked around it. You can't. All the distribution warehouses neat to see because you see all the trucks that are ready to pull out and go to the different parks, and you're thinking that's a lot of cookies in there.
Right.
Exactly.
The only Springs resort I ever stayed at was the Wyndham, which is one of the closer ones to Springs.
Got it. And that might be okay. And again, it's going to be a personal preference and timing. Coming back's a different thing because when we came back one night, we busted from Magic Kingdom to Springs. Then once you're there, you could potentially walk back.
And another thing that they did over there to improve things for the Springs resorts is they put those walkways, the elevated walkways.
Elevated. It helps traffic just as much as it does the people.
Yeah, and when I was there, you didn't have that. You had to push the little button and get the light to change for you and walk across the street.
Yep.
So that's cool, too. That's one of our plans. One of me and Lisa's plans is to spend a little time. I just messaged her a write-up that Disney did about some of the after-hours things at Springs. And we're going to... What was the 3 things? Lisa, we definitely want to go to the Edison. We want to go to Enzo's Hideaway.
Lisa, that's inside the Edison or next to the Edison?
Might be inside the Edison.
Yeah, inside the Edison, there's like 4 or 5 different things in it.
Yeah, so we're going to go in the Edison and whatever the bar is there and get a drink. And then we're going to go.
So you can bar hop inside the Edison is my point.
Oh, there's more than one bar there.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
my point.
And then there's Enzo's, which is at that Italian. It's like Maria and Enzo's. Yes. And it's Enzo's Hideaway. And then there's also a bar upstairs at Morimoto called the Secret Dragon or something like that. And it's supposed to be really cool. And then Lisa also wants to go to, and I know you're a fan, Sam, of the dockside bar at the boathouse.
Yeah, the dockside one, the one out on the dock. And then you got Jock Lindsay's, and then you go up to the Royal Coke bar. Awesome. That's the problem with Disney Springs. There's just too many things to do.
Well, but I've experienced, me and Ed went and had, we didn't go to the Dockside Bar, but me, Ed, and Kim in November when Ed got, the night Ed got there, we went to the Boathouse. We went to Jock Lindsay's.
That's nice.
And we went and tried to experience some of those things. But I hadn't been in the Edison yet, so I definitely wanted to do that. And I haven't been in Maria Enzo's.
Yeah, we'll look forward to a review.
I'm excited about that. We'll get some good photos and maybe generate a
photo. We were there late. I had my youngest with me, and the Edison at night after 10 o'clock is 21 and over,
yeah.
I think.
That's right, yeah. There's an age limit on it.
So we got there, right? So if Magic Kingdom, very interesting. Happily Ever After was at 7:55.
Wow.
Is that strange?
That is strange.
But 7:55, really it was very bizarre, and I'm not sure why, but that's the time that it was all week. 7:55, they're shooting the fireworks. So when that was over, by the time we get to Downtown Disney, you know, it's 9 o'clock. So the Edison was kind of out. But you know what? I'm fine with Planet Hollywood these days.
We went and ate there. Love I ate there for the first. I didn't. I've never experienced the old Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, just be glad.
When I haven't heard good things, but I was very, very impressed with Planet Hollywood when we went down in January. Me, Kim, and Caitlin, and my godchild Ashlyn. We all went there. Our first night there. It was one of the only things that was open. We got to the hotel late and hopped the bus to Springs. We were at Old Key West, so we hopped the bus to Springs. And yep. I really wanted to go to Deluxe Burger, but it closed. At 9 or 10.
That's all right, man. And, I think Guy's Donkey Sauce and SMC are even better than Deluxe Burger.
Well, and I had the burger. It was called the Ringer, which had like an onion ring on it, and it had the donkey sauce on it. And it was
SMC,
so...
SMC, super melty cheese, baby. That's the stuff.
It was good. And we had the High Roller appetizer. It comes out on a Ferris wheel.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. I was really impressed. The place is really cool, and the food was really, really delicious.
And we didn't need a reservation. Obviously, it was late, but we just walked right in, and there was a table for us.
We waited about probably 15 minutes.
That's not bad.
When we went and just kind of hung out. Yeah, we hung out in the little store in there and kind of looked at some of the Planet Hollywood merchandise. So it wasn't bad.
So we mentioned eating earlier, especially on one of these quick trips. The thing that I always like to remind people, and especially if I'm by myself or even with a couple of others, a lot of the bars around studios and Animal Kingdom and Epcot have full menus. So the primetime dine-in has a bar that has a full menu. You can sit there and get the, you know, grandma's meatloaf or whatever they call it these days. Something to remember, because you don't need a reservation. First come, first serve. Just go sit at the bar and order.
That's great. Yeah, especially if it's all adults, like it will be with, you know, me, Kim, and Lisa, and Angela.
Well, even with a kid. I mean, you can get a kid's menu there, and they could sit next to you if you're okay with them sitting at the bar. You can do it.
As long as they're okay with it. I didn't think Disney would let them sit at the bar.
During the day and in the parks, they don't have a problem with it.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's not like it's at Disney Springs. I'm sure they would.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But if you're in, and I've done it before, the Primetime Cafe, what's it called? The Tune-In Lounge is what it's called.
Yep.
And inside there, you can sit down and get the meatloaf and get the key to Dad's liquor cabinet, as they call it.
That's funny.
Yep.
But it's one of those little things to remember. But then one of the coolest things we did this time, more than once, and I know you guys have done it, and it's key to saving time, is mobile order.
Yes. Mobile ordering
absolutely
is
amazing.
Is the way to go. I think that the addition of that and the recent upgrade to being able to use your dining credits is a big win right now for Disney.
Absolutely. The example that I have is the Columbia Harbor House. It was around lunchtime. We ordered our meals while we were in the queue for Winnie the Pooh. After the ride, walked over, got close to basically to the Tangled Toilets, hit I'm here, get my order ready. When we walked in, it was waiting for us, and we walked past a line that came outside and was stretching around because it was about 12:30. We walked right in, got our stuff, got a seat.
You know what's really, I think what's really great about that is the average Disney park goer probably doesn't know that much about that, and they're probably not much less likely to use it than somebody like us who goes often and it's really looking to save time and, you know, cut corners anyway.
And that's what it's about. It's about the time that you save and the convenience, because you know how long it takes to wait in that line outside of the door, and then they put you in one of the lines and you wait for people to order, then you order your stuff and carry that tray out. Instead, you're walking up the mobile order counter, grabbing your tray and leaving.
That's right.
It's like, wow, this is great.
And I'm pretty indecisive, so that helps too. Because if I'm standing in line, I change my mind like six times before I get to the counter. Now. Yeah,
that's Angela all day long. I need to see the menu. Angela, the McDonald's menu hasn't changed in 50 years.
Right.
It's burgers and fries. What do you want?
But I may want something different this time. Darn it!
And then she'll turn around. I'd like a number two with the same thing you get every time. Got it. Thanks. This is fabulous.
Well. I took her to a Cajun restaurant in Lafitte, Louisiana, and she ordered chicken tenders. So I get it. I feel your pain.
Oh,
that's funny.
So, Sam, when you planned your fast passes, did you schedule all of them in the morning in order to continue to add extra fast passes throughout the course of the day?
Absolutely. Except for the Epcot day, because the earliest I could get frozen was at like 3 p.m. So we had to wait for that. But I know exactly where you're going, Lisa. You schedule that 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock fast pass for whatever you can get. And then at 11 o'clock, after you tap your band, you get on that app and get your next fast pass. And at that point, it's show the family which one you want to do. Here's what's available.
Yep.
And typically based on that, we're going with the one that's available the fastest
now.
Right.
Which one can I get in 15 minutes?
Right.
Grab that one and go. And then you do that as many times as you can. And I would say one day we got through 7 fast passes doing that.
Well, yeah.
Now, granted, at the end of the day, it's maybe Buzz Lightyear and Dumbo and those kind of things. But that's okay.
Because you're still bypassing the line, then you're doing more.
You're bypassing the line, you're doing more. Although it would be, okay, we're going to do Dumbo, now let's go to Magic Carpets of Aladdin, and now let's go back to, you know, Great Goofini. But, you know,
you got to try and keep things in the same general area.
I'm with you, but at that point, it's, do you want the fast pass or not? Here's what we can do. But I'm with you. I get it. Epcot, not much available.
No, there's just not a whole lot of stuff to fast
there's
pass
not.
There.
Epcot, you're going to pick Frozen or Test Track or Soarin', and then, you know, you can throw the photo pass option or Mission Space or one of those things on it, but you really don't need a fast pass for any of the other Future World attractions, especially after noon, I'll say.
Sure, right. You really only need the Tier 1.
The Tier 1.
Right. Once you get out of the Tier 1, you're really just wasting.
Although, I'll tell you, I do like, especially if you're coming in the front door, I come in International Gateway a lot, but if you're coming in the front door, I really like having that Spaceship Earth Fast Pass at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's a good idea.
Because you know that's when the line's the longest.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that line's crazy. That
first thing everybody hits,
First thing in the morning. And I love having that Fast Pass that time of day, and just because at that point, everyone's confused. People don't know exactly what's going on, and they're walking
up. Just get in line.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, let's go.
It's a very good point. Yep.
So I do like that fast pass. And it's a throwaway, because later in the day you'll probably walk on that, but it's okay. I like doing it first thing.
Yep, I agree.
But then you get that done and over with, and if you're going to another park, you can fast pass in another park.
You know what? That's a great point, Lisa. And when you go for that fourth fast pass of the day, first thing it asks you is what park. You know, you're eligible. What park would you like to get? And you could be in Magic Kingdom and book a fast pass in Animal Kingdom or wherever, which is really cool.
Yep.
Which takes me back really to the app itself. The app has really come a long way. It's taken 3 or 4 years, but it's getting much better.
We had a lot of issues. I remember it was one of the Disney Nerds podcast trips, and was right after it had come out, and it was tough.
The Wi-Fi was horrible. I can remember that.
Wi-Fi was horrible. You almost did better just go and find a FastPass kiosk.
Yes, because you needed to be connected.
Connected.
Now, it's not perfect. There's still some little flaky things that happen with it. Like one of them, after we used FastPasses, the three of us binged in our FastPasses to go and ride, and we went to reserve another one, and only two of us were eligible for another FastPass. Because for some reason, the third person, it didn't go.
Take it out.
So once we got off of the ride,
override that.
Well, so here's what we did. They can override it, but at that point, we rode the attraction, got off, and I had them go over and tap their band, and then they worked like they rode it.
Hmm. Perfect.
Like, okay, fine. So I fixed it myself, but yeah, that was a, and I know that they all went green because I watched them all happen.
Sure. It just didn't, it didn't register for whatever reason.
For some reason, it didn't register. And that's an issue when you're trying to get that extra one, because if you don't use the three, you can't get the next one.
Right.
But it's okay.
Well, especially cool. If you're trying to get the extra one in another park, because you can't get the, you can't get something in another park until you at least use the first three.
That's a right. That's exactly right. Right.
The first three have to be used in the same park.
Yep. And that's why, to Lisa's original point, making it 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11 a.m. lets you maximize that.
Yeah. My
which
first
is,
day.
Which is what I've done my last day. I've done that in Magic Kingdom almost to the point to see how many fast passes I can get in one day.
How'd you do?
Well, that's what we're going to do next month.
That's what you're going to do. Got it.
Yeah. Got it. My first day there, I'm going to Animal Kingdom. Lisa won't be there yet. That'll be Saturday. And I've got three fast passes. I'll be done fast passes by noon.
There you go. And so as soon as you tap your band for that third one, while you're in the queue, you can get the next one. You can schedule it on your phone.
Awesome.
You don't have to wait till you're done. You can go right then.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool.
Yep, I like it. Anything else? Anything we missed? Other than me and Lisa's really looking forward to going on our trip.
So what have you done? Let me ask you guys. What have you done thus far as planning for your short trip? Do you have your fast passes set? Are you ready to go?
All fast passes are set, yep.
All fast passes are done.
So let me ask you this. What about a short trip that's also a last-minute trip? This happens to me because of what I do for a living. I travel a lot, and if I'm ever in within a two-hour drive of Walt Disney World, sometimes I end up there for a little bit.
Sure.
Let's put it that way. Then what do you do?
So I think you have to ask yourself what you truly enjoy and what you want to get out of it. I mean, we live in a different world than, yeah, I think the average Disney park attendee, where if I was, you know, an hour away from Walt Disney World and I could go for a day or two, I'd sit back and go, okay, what do I want to do? Well, I want to get attraction audio here, and I want to get video here, and I want to, so we think in a different manner than everybody else does. I want to just go walk World Showcase. That's it. I don't need to get on anything. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to go walk around World Showcase. But not the average park goer isn't going to do that. So I think that asking us this question is probably a little bit different.
I think you're absolutely right. Because me, like you, when I'm there, if I know there's a chance, I'm taking my good DSLR camera with me and I'm going to have it. And I will walk around, take pictures of anything and everything, especially if I think something's changed. And that ends up being one of the photo reports over on the website. And I'm not doing that. You know, I'm taking the pictures anyway, but then I share them so that others can say, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. Check that out. It's a point in time.
I think another thing is on those last minute trips, maybe knowing that you're probably not going to get some of the fast passes that you normally would, maybe go do some attractions that you normally would skip over. Go watch Reflections of China. Go do Oh Canada. Go watch Impressions de France. Go, you know, do Figment or watch the Pixar movie festival.
Because there won't be a line and you can get right in there to do those things.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And I do take in some shows when I'm there, because a lot of times if it's a last minute trip and it's just me, that's I'll do things that others might not want to do.
Sure.
I don't want to stand around and watch the band. Well, I do. This is kind of cool.
Right. Right.
And I never saw it before, so I'm doing it.
Go check out Morgan's down now and she just live streamed today the little mime guy, the mime in Italy.
In Italy, yep.
Like, you could spend...
Sergio, I think is his name.
You could spend a day just going country to country, getting the Times guide, and going and see the street entertainers.
Yep.
Which are fantastic.
And not ride anything.
And not ride
anything.
That's
right.
Not stand in line for anything.
That's right.
Which is what separates us from the average Joe.
Yes.
I appreciate... Kim, last trip, Kim and... I met Kim and the rest of the family at France, but they were in the Impressions de France. and I heard the whistle. And yeah, the guys that stacked the chairs and all that, I was the first one there. I mean, I got like a perfect spot, like dead center, right in front, and I got to live stream. Yes, he's freaking nuts. You're absolutely right. He is nuts. So I got to live stream that right in front. It was great, right front center. It was awesome because I've seen it before, but I'd never seen it like right front row. So that was
right.
Cool.
You've just walked upon it.
Yes.
Exactly. Coming across the bridge. Hey, what's going on? Where are those people around?
Yeah.
And that's what Morgan was able to do during walk-arounds this trip. Yep. She was able to catch, you know, March of the First Order, but even this morning she was able to catch the Jammers.
They're cool.
Very cool. Yep.
That's just one you walk into. That's cool.
Are they on the Times Guide?
I believe that they are, yes.
Yes. So
if you want to go see them, you can get a Times Guide and figure out when they'll be out, which that's great. I love all that side stuff, you know, the Dapper Dans and the trolley show. Those are cool. Love that stuff.
So I guess if you're planning that short trip, 3 days, 2 days, knowing what you want to get done is the most important thing, and sticking to that. Get there early. You'll get more done in the first 4 hours of the day than you will in the next 8 hours.
Sure.
Just because of crowds, just because of people. So enjoy yourself and take in where you are. You're in Walt Disney World. This is great. It may only be a couple of days, but enjoy every minute of it.
You know, me and Morgan were talking about maybe, and this could be probably a future topic, but doing a trip where maybe you go like during an extremely busy time, like the week of Christmas or right in the middle of the summer when the parks are at 10, but you go specifically with the mission of seeing all that side entertainment and not even doing an attraction. Could you do a 3-4 day trip to Disney during peak season and just not even maybe even go on an attraction? People watch.
I'm sure you could.
I bet you could.
People watch and try. Catch the outside, the stuff that most people walk by.
Yep. I'm sure that you could pull that off. In fact, we should try it. I happen to have a Times Guide in front of me here, Jimmy.
Go. Do you really?
Yeah, the Jammers are 7 times a day. At least they were for Festival of Arts. That's the Times Guide I picked up. But they're the only entertainment listed in Future World. Everything else is in World Showcase.
They switched that up a little bit during Food and Wine because they don't play trash cans. They play like kitchen appliances and stuff.
Yeah.
Like pots,
yes,
and right. Stove.
Yes,
and
which makes me wonder what they were playing during Festival of Arts. Who knows?
Yeah.
And I don't know what they weren't called the Jammers for this festival. I don't remember what they called themselves, but it was something different.
Yeah, it's cool. It's the same. It's
the same people,
great,
though, right?
Oh, yeah. It was the same exact lineup. It's the same exact group of people, but they called themselves something different. They're still playing the trash cans, but they were decorated differently.
That's cool. I like it. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Attractions Madness, which will probably be the next show. Sam, won't you tell everybody about that so they can get out there and vote?
It is time. It's time once again for Attraction Madness, our annual March Madness event. Head to DisneyMadness.com. Right now, you can vote for qualification or potentially the first round where there's 32 brackets. We're facing off the 64 best attractions of Walt Disney World to come up with the Disney Nerds' number one attraction at Walt Disney World. And we want you to help us determine who it's going to be. In fact, we have some interesting prizes for some predictions. More on that next week.
I voted too. I voted today. I voted a couple times. I voted today. You can vote once every 3 hours.
You can vote as many times as you want. What we're doing is when you list out the attractions at Walt Disney World, there's about 70 of them, and we need to get the list down to 64. So what we're doing is deciding the 6 things that won't make it. And if you're a fan of Triceratops Spin over to Animal Kingdom,
you better go
vote. Get in there and vote because I don't think it's going to make it.
No, that's at the bottom of the list.
I don't think it has one vote. Now, because we said that, somebody will vote for it. But it has 0 votes right now.
I go every day, and every 3 hours I go and vote for It's a Small World.
You That'll are just a fabulous human being.
That'll make the cut. It'll be interesting because looking, but last time we did Attraction Madness was 4 years ago, I think that it was.
It was either 3 or 4 years ago, yep.
It was four years ago. And in that, I remember saying our 64th seed in that particular madness was the American Idol experience.
Wow.
That's how long ago that was. God. And I remember saying that I don't think it's going to be on the list next time we do this, which it's not. But we had no idea that The Great Movie Ride would not be on the list. That Lights, Motors, Action would not be on the list. That any of those things. So it's a completely different landscape because now we have Pandora and we have the Navi River Journey and we have Flight of Passage and there's some new things there.
New Soarin'.
Mission Space.
Yep.
You know, we should have added – there's a write-in opportunity. You know, we could write in the Slinky Dog coaster before it's open. I guess we could do that. It'll be open by the time the tournament's done.
Sure.
That's it. No, I hope it's not. The whole tournament should be done before June.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. If it is, we're not doing our job right.
Next time. But it's interesting to see how things have evolved and the things that are gone and the things that are new in just 4 years' time.
So make sure you head over to thedisneynerdspodcast.com. Click on the hover over the attractions, hover over the March tournament tab and click on the 2018 Attractions Madness. Yes. Go vote for the seedings, and then pretty soon the matches will be up there. Also, make sure you like the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page and tune in to the live show on Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time. It's an interactive show. We like to talk with all the listeners and friends and people watching who type in comments, and it's more of an open conversation. It's a lot of fun. We'll be talking about some of the prize packs that will be available for people who can get the fill out their bracket for the attractions tournament and get it 100% right. Make sure to follow the Disney Nerds on Twitter at the Disney Nerds. On Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast. You can email any one of the podcast hosts with their name at the Disney Nerds Podcast.com. So it's Jimmy at the Disney Nerds Podcast.com, Ed, Sam, Lisa, Charlotte. So if you want to, and then if you just have a question for the show that you want us to answer on the podcast itself, that we have an email called questions at the Disney Nerds Podcast.com. That'd be where that would go. Join our group. Disney Nerds, all caps, got about 23,000 members. It's a great place if you have a planning question or this or that. That's a great place to ask and get a bunch of different people's opinions who are all pretty knowledgeable about Disney.
What if I needed a travel agent? Could I find one there?
You definitely could. Once Upon a Time Travel is the official travel agency of the Disney Nerds Podcast. You can reach out to me. That's Jimmy at thedisneynerdspodcast.com or onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com or private message the Disney Nerds Podcast on Facebook or myself personally. And I'd love to help you plan and book your trip. We're 100% fee-free, so it doesn't cost you anything extra to book with us versus booking directly with Disney. So for this week, for Ed, Jennifer, Charlotte, this is Jimmy. Lisa, so much fun talking to you. And Sam, thank you guys for joining. It's been a blast. I can't wait for my trip. I can't wait to get Attractions Madness started. I'm pulling for It's a Small World. I think it's going to make it.
You got a prediction right now? So last time, I believe it was Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion won it last time. I think the final two came down to Tower of Terror and Haunted Mansion, if I'm not mistaken.
It'll be a little different this time because I think we had regions based on parks last time. But anyway, it's going to be fun to go through it. And this is when the Disney nerds come out and those nerdy attractions always end up.
So what's your prediction for this year?
Mansion is hard to top, but I think that Pirates always has a shot.
I think Splash Mountain does too.
Yeah, Splash as well.
I don't even think you can throw Flight of Passage out the window.
Pirates, by the way, right now is down for refurbishment.
Is that going to be back? It's just a couple weeks, though, I think.
Yeah, it'll be back up by the time we get there. The only thing that'll be down will be the Liberty.
The boat. Bell.
Yep. The boat. Yeah. So is the redhead going to be?
Redhead will be gone.
Changed?
Yeah. The redhead will be gone.
Well, she won't be gone. Well, she's being enabled.
Yeah. She'll be a pirate.
She's going to be shooting back is what's going to happen.
Yeah. So,
I thought that's what was happening right now, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah. My understanding, that's exactly what's happening. And the past couple times I've been down, Splash Mountain's been closed. So this will be the first time I get to ride Splash Mountain in quite a while.
It has been a long time.
Yeah. It's been down for quite a bit. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Truly appreciate you guys coming on. It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to get in the Attractions Madness. Lisa, what's your prediction?
It's a small world.
It's a small world.
Sorry.
I'm gonna go with Pirates. And I agree. I think Avatar Flight of Passage is off the board. And I think that's because not a lot of people have experienced it yet.
Yeah, and that's probably it. I just don't think it's been long.
A pirate's life for me.
I think if you went back to it next year with Attractions Madness, that it might make its way to the top, to the final.
It'd be closer for sure, because you're right. More people would have experienced it.
And maybe the Alien Spinner will be. Who knows?
You know, interesting, right? Is the way it's looking now is that Flight of Passage will get a low seed, which might benefit it.
Maybe. Flight of Passage will get a low seed. Right now, even at this particular point in time, Splash Mountain and Space Mountain are lower than I would have expected them to be. Right now, your top four are Haunted Mansion, Pirates, Big Thunder Mountain, and Soarin'.
Which it was Peter Pan. Yeah, it was Peter Pan.
Rock and Roller Coaster was up there for a little while, and that's fallen a little bit.
It's fallen to fifth, and Peter Pan to sixth, wow. And that horrible ride to seventh.
It's still Elite Eight then. Well, we'll see. It's all good.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. And watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
All right, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Again, this is Jimmy for the Disney Nerds Podcast, and we are out.
So long, everybody.
Kongaloosh.
Guaharini. In peace.